Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, Bennett Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Byron Jones joining us in studio. Thank you so much for coming to join us in studio, by the way.
No problem. Still
really
here.
Really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been talking about the all or nothing thing, and it really ties back into everything we've been discussing, because you mentioned that you don't watch a lot of sports on television or listen to it or read it because, you know, for the most part, media has to, you know, put a puzzle together. They have some pieces, but they're not there. We don't see everything. In all or nothing, we do get to see everything. Everything that they show us, we are behind the scenes. So it's a fascinating look into things. And one of the things that stood out to us that we thought was pretty cool was, you know, KT was pointing out that in there's an episode that shows Sean Lee just running a defensive meeting. He's running like the remote control that's in charge of the film.
Oh, yeah.
How often does a player run the film for the whole meeting, or is that just Sean Lee?
That is definitely a Sean Lee thing. But guys have stepped up to their roles, and that started, I think, in the beginning of the season where we have a time slot from the after we're done practicing until afternoon meetings, and that's like an hour and a half. So you have an hour and a half to take a shower, ice bath, get whatever treatment you need, eat some lunch, and get back up to the afternoon meeting. So we cut that time a little bit short so that we can have just a players' meetings. And that's what that probably was. That was just a players only meeting before, you know, our usual meetings that we get together as a defensive unit, as an offensive unit, where you have a player running the show, really. And so that's powerful for us, just to have a guy like that.
Yeah. And did you say it was always Sean?
No, it wasn't. So it went from Tyrone, Sean. It went through DeMarcus Lawrence as well. So
who's deciding who's going to do it?
It's just whatever the emphasis is coming up that day.
Okay.
If it's pass rush, then D Law's going to take it, or Tyron's going to take it. If it's you know, linebacker stuff, secondary stuff, then Sean Lee's going to take it.
And that one specific example, it's talking about Marshawn Lynch, tackling Marshawn Lynch. Mm-hmm. That's what he's kind of, the emphasis is on tackling, I'm guessing.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, definitely have to have a tackling plan for a guy like that.
Oh, that's awesome. This is so great. Let's get back to Sean Lee. This defense changed almost entirely with him out of the game. I mean, with Sean Lee, it's this, and without Sean Lee, it's this. Why?
He's that special. He's a once-in-a-generation type player, the way he studies, the way he prepares, and just the way he plays the game and the way he approaches it. You know, football is this ultimate team sport. You have so many hands a part of a defensive unit and offensive unit to make it successful. But when you have a guy who does so much like that, yeah, you're going to feel it when he leaves. And that's, you know, something that we're trying to fix.
You feel it off the field, obviously, but does he still run meetings and stuff when he's hurt? He's kind of like a coach, sort of.
I mean, he's smart. He's so intelligent. He knows so much. He doesn't know just his position. He knows the D-line's position. He knows the secondary. So, yeah, it's good to get a different voice in the room to have him teach us. Yeah, there's no doubt. Even when he's hurt, he's going to teach us something.
All right, we want to ask you about the Dez situation. But, you know, you're nice enough to come to the studio. We're definitely not going to blindside you with anything.
Hit me.
Unless
we have to. but I'm curious. Like, we can understand, especially after seeing All or Nothing, we can understand kind of both sides of the dilemma. You could see from the documentary that Dez has a ton of passion. Maybe sometimes that became counterproductive for him personally, or maybe it became a distraction, but we know that his heart was always in the right place, mm-hmm. and he always wanted to win, and we know that he's immensely talented and was, you know, frustrated with the lack of the connection there. They just weren't, he and Dak just weren't quite on the same page for whatever reason. So one of the episodes showed Dez challenging Jordan Lewis to one-on-one. Mm. After practice. Do you remember this?
I do remember that, yes.
Okay, so because you tell us your memory of that. We've already seen the whole thing, but I'd love to get your memory of it.
I think they were just going back and forth. The guys were just running their mouth per usual. And then coach said, you know what? You know, these guys are going too much. Let's just line it up. Let's take care. We still have the pads on. We're still stretched out. We're still warmed up. Line up. Get a quarterback. Get a ball. Let's see who wins it.
Uh-huh. And who threw that pass? Was it Dak?
I think it was Dak. But I would assume, but I'm not sure.
It was one play, and Dez catches it. Is that right?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Dez catches it, But I mean, they'd gone at it in practice, and then after they line up, yeah, Dez catches it.
Okay, how common is something like that? And then was that just a Dez thing, or does that happen with all the guys?
So the wonderful part about our practice is that we're always competing, but we have these compete periods where everything stops. All the players on offense, all the players on defense, we all stop what we're doing, and we come to the middle of the field, and coach calls out maybe a guard and a defensive tackle, a corner and a receiver, or safety and a tight end, and you battle back and forth. It's one-on-ones. It's we do it about probably three times a practice, and guys are just competing, and that's probably probably a spill-off of what happened in practice, and then just carried over to after practice.
How many times has it carried over that you can recall where dudes just weren't cool with how it ended?
Oh, I mean, if people run their mouths the entire practice from it, man, because no one likes to lose. I mean, right. We're extremely competitive, and sometimes we complain about the calls, but that's just a part of it. Like, you know, when the D-line is going up against the offensive line, and obviously you can't actually sack the quarterback. So sometimes it's hard to decide, okay, did he really get around the offensive lineman? Did he create pressure? And guys go off on that all the time, but that just increases the level of play throughout practice. You know, guys they're still heated about that. Okay, now they're going to bring it to the 7-on-7. Now they're going to bring it to the 11-on-11 pass rush. So that's a great part about those competition periods.
All right, walk us through the difficulties in covering each of these guys. Totally different skill sets. I think I know, but I want to hear it from you. What are the specific challenges in covering Dez Bryant as opposed to covering Cole Beasley?
Dez Bryant, he is just a strong physical receiver, and his catch radius is so huge that you throw the ball in his vicinity, he's going to find a way to catch the ball. And with his strength, it's very hard to punch it out. So you can be on him great. Yeah, go ahead. Go. You can be on him all day. You can tell you the route that he's running. But, you know, he has an incredible ability just to go grab that ball and go get it. With a guy like Cole Beasley, he's so shifty and so quick. Again, you can know he's running a 5-yard out, but once he plants that foot in the ground, he's going to get where he needs to go faster than you, just physically. The way he can change directions, the way he can contort his body to make a catch, he's special. He's really special in the slot, and I haven't seen many guys guard him successfully throughout the entire game, man-to-man coverage. That guy can rip anybody.
Hearing your description of Dez, it makes me wonder, and it's business and blah, 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 but in any way, were you surprised when the team released Dez, or did you hear all the noise leading up to it? What was sort of your reaction when he was finally released?
I was completely surprised. Like I said, I don't watch much sports news, so I didn't know what they were talking about. But it was funny because I do, like, events throughout Dallas and everything, and fans would come up to me like, hey, is Dez staying on it? Like, please tell Dez to stay on the team. I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? He's going to be on the team. Like, I never haven't heard anything. And of course, I did not watch the news or anything like that. So, yeah, it surprised me as well.
All right, so I said I wasn't going to blindside you, but I am actually going to blindside you with something now.
This is exciting.
Just because I just thought of this. Now, we blindsided Kayvon Frazier with this as well.
Hey.
And I loved getting his reaction, so we want to get your reaction. We had Emmanuel Sanders on our show, Broncos receiver, because he had a camp here in town.
Okay.
And he wanted to promote the camp. And we asked him, hey, what was your impression of the Cowboys when you played the Cowboys? And he had a thought about the style of defense you guys played.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't complimentary, but I'm going to let you hear it and then get your thoughts. Here's the question and answer. When you go back to that game, do you remember why you guys were able to have so much success? Anything you can help us learn about our defense?
Honestly and truthfully, you know, what I'm going to say is I don't hope this. It's not a shot to nobody, but maybe in that game, this is what I saw, and it's the honest truth. I saw a defense that really truly wasn't physical, and that's what I felt, you know, when I was playing against those guys, you know, in terms of even safeties coming down and hitting, you know, it's just all the turn calls, sticking your head in the fan, and these guys just wasn't physical. They weren't physical at all, and you know, I've been in the league 9 years, and I still remember after that game, saying, man, like I felt like. Like they're scared or something, you know. That's the kind of vibe that I had gotten.
All right, now you've heard that. What are your thoughts on his analysis?
Well, that wasn't our best game, I can tell you that. And that was a long Tuesday when we reviewed the film for me and a lot of the guys in that room. But yeah, that you know, you have games where you look at the film. It's like, what the heck were we doing, man? Like, we do this stuff throughout the entire season the right way, but we came out on that day and didn't execute. And there was no doubt about that. We didn't come ready to play, and that's on us. That's on me.
When we were playing all these all-or-nothing cuts last week, we got a lot of cuts out of the time immediately following that Denver game. And it's going back and hearing what Sanders said there and hearing what you said. Was there a time with this team since you guys had gone 13-3 the year before? That was week two. You guys won week one against the Giants. Did you guys ever get too full of yourselves?
I mean, I say no. We just didn't perform our best in that game.
Mm-hmm. But do you think that's a fair question to ask?
Well, I mean, it's just like, how do you really accumulate, hey, did you, you're gonna ask each player, like, hey, are you fully yourself? Are you fully yourself? And I'm not going to speak for anybody else.
Right.
But I'm certainly, like, I understand the concept of just because you have a good season in 2016 doesn't mean it translates over.
Right.
You have to really rebuild the foundation of each team every single year. Everybody understands that in sports. I think that the common misconception you see is like, oh, they did good this year. They have a similar roster, so they should be able to do good the next year. That's just not how it works. If you saw a lot of our games in that 13-3 year, I mean, we won a lot of games in the fourth quarter through, you know, maybe a touchdown or a couple points, maybe a field goal. Mm-hmm. These games go any way in the league. The margin of error is so small. So for me, no, I wasn't fooling myself. I understood how hard it was to win games in the NFL.
All right, Byron Jones joining us on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Looking forward to this coming season, what would you personally hang your hat on in terms of feeling confident about your team's chances? Like what? Like going into this coming season, what makes you feel good about the team you're going to have?
I just say our young talent. You look around in the room, especially in the defensive back, the defensive back meeting room, this is a lot of young talent, and I like that. Guys are just hungry to play. You know, a lot of positions are open. It's going to be a competition throughout OTAs and throughout August camp, and that's going to bring the best out of everybody. And you just look throughout our team, and you see a lot of guys who are very young but are contributing considerably on the team. So I'm excited for that. Just a lot of young guys, high energy, fighting for a spot, competing, and bringing the best out of everybody, really.
You know, yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. We had Jordan on, and he was talking about how much trash Cheeto talks.
Oh, man.
And we were talking about guys talking trash like receivers with DBs, but what about within your group, the secondary group? Do you guys talk a lot of trash to one another?
Okay. But Cheeto is unique. He has a very unique way of getting under your skin. He's like the kid who's going to, like, put his finger 2 inches in front of you. He said, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you. He'll find a way to get under your skin some way, somehow. I hear stories about him playing video games and just making people quit because he just, you know, he'll make a nice dunk on a video game and he'll reverse it. He'll put it in slow motion. He'll add sound effects to it. Like,
he'll get under your skin.
Oh, yeah. He'll get under your skin real quick. But that's what we love about the guy, man.
So we asked you to compare some different players earlier and receivers. Let's compare Cheeto and Jordan. What is the difference between them? What are the things you like about each guy's game?
Well, those two are pretty much brothers at this point. You see them do everything together. Cheeto's this big, you know, strong cornerback who can also play safety. And then you have Jordan, who is a smaller but scrappy player. And I love his energy. I love his ability to compete, as you saw in the documentary. That's him. You know, that's him. And that's both those guys, honestly. I think they're both going to be incredible for a team.
What are you guys going to be missing personality-wise with Orlando leaving? He'd been here a long time, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to miss Orlando personally. You know, he had times where we bump heads, but, man, it's out of love. You know, it's out of that he cares about this team and that he cares about football. To have a guy in the locker room that's played so long and that well, you can't replicate that. You know, he's been a veteran for 10 years in the NFL and played extremely good football. And as you saw, he's outspoken. He likes to speak his mind. That was great leadership on his part. But like I said, we're all stepping up to the plate and to replace him.
You know, it's almost like there's an offensive family and a defensive family. The different sides of the locker room, kind of in different silos, different coaches, all those different things. Is there a player that leads the whole team? Or is that the job of the quarterback?
I think everyone in that locker room respects Jason Witten. I mean, that guy, his body of work for so long, everybody loves what he's done in this team. So if anybody, we all look up to him. But the beautiful part about our team, we have so many guys that we can look up to. Tyrone Crawford, we have Tyron Smith, you have Sean Lee, Jeff Heath, guys like that we all can get behind, Dak Prescott, that you know that are going to do the right things. Gonna show up on time and give it their all.
Who are the biggest personalities on this team?
Ooh, biggest personalities.
Tyron.
No,
I mean, he keeps it low key. Dan Bailey.
I'm kidding. And don't tell him. Don't tell him Skin said that.
But it's funny because the biggest personalities, those guys just left. Like Orlando Scandrick and Des Bryant, right. Man. Those guys had big personalities that you just, those guys are one of a kind. You're not going to replace personalities like that.
How comfortable are you guys going to be with Xavier Woods playing your old position?
I mean, he was, I think he played really well last year.
He played on nickel last year, too.
He played a lot of positions, and yeah. That's the thing. I don't know exactly where he's going to fall in this year with a new defense and stuff. But we're excited for him. The way he takes angles to the ball, the way he tackles, and he made a lot of good plays for us, especially on third downs.
All right, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us. Greatly appreciate you coming
no problem,
in studio.
No problem.
Very kind of you to do that. And on behalf of our show and everybody out there listening, want to miss you. Wish you much continued success this
season. Thank you very much, guys.
Personally,
Byron Jones.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.